are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one. I'm talking about this one. Don't argue with me. It's this one. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right. It is Thursday. It is Turbo Thursday. We are the one day before the last day of the week before you get to the weekend, and that means at 3:30 on a Thursday, we do this thing we like to call Butters and Lee, where we bring in some friends who do things that make this show perfect. I mean, they do the stuff behind the scenes that just makes stuff work. And let me just call the roll. The guru of technology and online streaming stuff, synchronization, optimizations, and all the Asian words, Butters, are you there?
I am. I think I'm flattered.
can you put all that on a business card? I don't know if you can. All right. And Lee from Huntsville, who is known to filibuster, but always with the best words you can use in Scrabble. Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am.
Apparently, I'm just feeling very saucy today. So I'm going to go ahead and say it's time for a round of Butters and Lee. All right, my friends, you know the deal. I ask you all questions, and you just see what kind of answers you got, and then we flip the script later. You ask me questions. So here's my first question for you. I got kind of a mindset earlier in the show about a cabinet pick for Trump, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with this. So let's say that Trump's elected, and we've got the Trump and Vance administration coming on, and they've got to fill out the cabinet. What's your dream team? And I'm going to name the positions that I want to hear about. Who would you want to see appointed to be Secretary of Defense, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Attorney General, Secretary of State, and then Health and Human Services? Who would you want to see in these major cabinet-level positions? Lee, you first.
Well, let's see. First, maybe SecDef. You know, I don't know. Maybe Christopher Miller. He had worked with the Pentagon under Trump. He was a popular one.
Wow. That's a deep cut right there.
Huh?
That's a deep cut right there. I didn't think about him.
Yeah. I think for Attorney General, I like Ken Paxton out of Texas.
I really like
him. And he's been through the ringer legally as, you know, their AG. So, you know, I think he'd be a good one. Let's see. DHS, he's talking about Homeland Security. I'd love to see General Flynn.
Wouldn't that be a hoot?
Yeah.
He deserves a second chance, too, by the way.
I think so. I think he's been, just screwed so bad, you know, by the Democrats and attacking him on day one. And I just don't think Trump understood enough to stand behind him, which he should have. If you've seen Flynn's movie, it just makes you angry by the end of it. You're just angry at about how he and his family, I mean, he's a really upstanding guy who did nothing but serve his country, and he got, you know,
trampled. He got hosed. He sure did.
Yeah, he really did. I don't know about Secretary of State. I think, you know, there's just so many people that could do that. I don't even know who to choose. I would love to see him possibly in some role bring in a former Democrat, maybe an independent, maybe like a Tulsi Gabbard type person. I don't know if that's the right role, but I'd like to see him do that. And, you know, you didn't ask, but his press secretary, I don't know. There's so many good ones. But maybe Peter Ducey is so good at harassing the current.
I said that earlier in the show. I did. Yeah. I said the same thing. Yeah. Peter Ducey would be, you know what, the press corps would be like, oh, crap.
Vivek would be pretty good, I think.
Okay, let's switch over to you, Butters.
He'd be wasted. He'd be wasted there.
All right, so Butters, SecDef, DHS, AG, Secretary of State, HHS, who would you want?
I got a real cop out answer. But it's honest.
Okay.
I've got no idea on names, but I'd say in general, I'd really love to see some people we've never heard of. Never heard of. At least not on the common, you know, scene of politics and the same old names cycled over and over. I'd love to see some new blood. You know, that obviously that's assuming that the Trump's folks are doing all the due diligence you know, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's a ton of great names that, you know, will come out. But, you know, quite honestly, we need some fresh blood, new people that aren't looking for favors.
I'm not letting you off that easy, man. You got to have at least one name for one position. Come on.
Well, so I'm definitely excited to see what might happen with RFK.
Yeah.
Vivek, you know, getting in there. And, yeah, the press secretary would be a waste. Dave Chappelle would be pretty awesome as a press secretary.
Dave Chappelle as press secretary. That would be amazing. That would also be, yeah. I would tune in every day for that.
Do you know how many people would consume the press reports? I think Vivek getting in, you know, there's definitely some cool names jumping in there. We'll see what actually happens with Elon Musk. But I don't know. I'm just so skeptical of so many of these. I mean, even you talking about, you know, for SecDef, you know, some of the generals of late, retired, like I kind of want to go back to 90s era generals, if that's the road we're going to go. But I'm just so skeptical of so many names that have been around for so long. Because
all right, so let me, before we run out of time, let me throw out a few names. Here's ones that I like. All right, SecDef, I like Senator Tom Cotton. I think Tom Cotton would make a great SecDef. He's also a veteran, Army Airborne Ranger qualified. I think he got out as a captain. DHS Secretary, I'm all in for DeSantis. I want DeSantis to be in charge of every disaster we ever have. He's in charge of FEMA, Secret Service, Treasury, all of it. I think DeSantis would be a great DHS. Attorney General, let me throw this at you. How interesting would it be, I mean, aside from the fact that I like Alabama's Steve Marshall, but how interesting would it be to see RFK, just like his dad was the AG, to become the next AG? I think
he needs to do Health and Human Services.
Well, that I've got him down for that, too. I've got it scratched right here on my list in my illegible handwriting. It says RFK for HHS also.
Why not do both?
Heck, you know what? At least he won't wear a dress to work like the one we have in there right now. Secretary of State, I put Vivek. I think Vivek could do it.
Yeah.
All right. So let me throw you a curveball. Is there anybody he should keep from the current Biden administration? Anybody Trump should keep? They're like, oh, he's doing a good job. Why get rid of him? Anybody?
No.
Anybody?
No. Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. And a no from both. And I agree. I say, clean house. And oh, by the way, subordinates too. Bureaucrats, all of them. Move them out where they can't do harm.
He used to take out the top of the FBI, the CIA, all the alphabet agencies, cleaned house, take his arm and sweep them off the table. The top level of all of that has to go.
I agree. But not only that, I think some of the rank and file needs to move too. And if there is some way tenured or you know, sanctuaried from being, then put them in a position where they can do no harm. They don't have to stay in the same desk. Take them and move them, and let's get some of the, go back to, you know, the fresh blood thing that Butters is talking about.
The focus really needs to be on rebuilding some trust.
Yes, it does.
With the huge middle section of America that has completely lost trust, and well, I guess that's why I say a bunch of names we don't know might be better.
I'm gonna put one more word. Yeah. I think it's trust and efficiency. I think the government has become bloated and inefficient, and I think the government has also, oh by the way, lost trust. So I agree absolutely on trust. But I think you've got to build some efficiencies also back into government and make it actually run like a business.
That's where Elon comes in.
There you go. All right, let me switch gears here. I'm only going to have about 2 or 3 minutes on this one with you, so I'm just going to go ahead and sling it out there. It's a total change of subject. The transgender movement about minors. All right, I'm not talking about adults. I'm just talking about minors. Should Congress pass a nationwide ban on transgender treatments and surgeries on minors? Should there be a nationwide ban on that? I'm going with Butters first. Because I know that Lee will filibuster.
I wish they didn't have to. And I wish that the doctors would police themselves.
Yeah.
It's really appalling that the medical community, of course, I'm not a doctor, so what do I know? But I'm pretty sure that's not a good thing.
Mm.
So if they're not going to do that, then yeah, pass the bill, pass a law.
Pass a nationwide ban on transgender transitions on minors. All right. Lee, what say you?
Yes, of course. As many European countries have done, we need to ban it outright. And it's not just the doctors that are, it's more the hospital systems that are making a lot of money. I just read an article where they've made $120 million off these surgeries.
Yep.
and hormones and everything else over the last 3 years. So it's just as much them pushing it as a very, very, very small amount of doctors.
All right, so let me ask you this, just real quickly, knowing that we're, this is a republic, all right? This is, and federalism is a thing. Does it matter to you to have the federal government come in and preempt an opportunity for states to have a say in this? Does it matter? Oh,
no,
listen to the wheels turn.
I think there are some things that are appropriate at a federal. I mean, and again, it's a shame that that's even a discussion. Why would states not have already taken care of that?
Lee, what say you?
No, these are children. We have federal laws to protect children already on the books. Are you saying we should go back and everybody should choose drinking age, smoking age, everything else all over again? No. We have laws to protect minors on the books for a reason.
All right. I'm with you both and your dog, too, who agreed. All right. That's all good. All right. Round one, Butters and Lee. We're going to go ahead and take a break. That went fast. All right. So we have now picked out the dream teams. At least the selection criteria has been established. And we've also decided that we're okay with a national law that protects kids from transgender treatments. And we're going to be right back. We flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait with bated breath to see what they got. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. Okay, I'm going right back to round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where we flip the script, and I just see what kind of questions they have for me and hope I have an actual answer. So, Lee, you first. What do you got for me?
I'm sorry about my dog. He got excited over a
no,
squirrel.
No, I don't mind a bit. Are you kidding? Go ahead.
So, I want your best opinion on polls. We're getting so inundated with polls.
Yeah.
But Trump has always seemed to defy polls somewhat. And even in 2016, running against Hillary, he was down in the polls when he won.
Yeah.
And even with Joe Biden, when he ran against him, Joe Biden was predicted up, but it was very much more narrowed. Considering he's running ahead and he's traditionally down in the polls, does that make you feel more positive, or do you feel like that polls just don't apply to him?
To Trump?
No,
I think polls do apply, but I also think this. The interesting thing is, I think that that Trump notoriously, and I say notoriously, but traditionally, under polls, and a part of that is because there are people on the Trump side who are more skeptical of the pollsters who call them, and so they don't answer the questions, and that's been a proven fact. And then there's also just the fact that there are people out there that they're going to vote for Trump, but they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to have to deal with their coworkers and their friends and people in more liberal venues that would go like, you're going to do what, you know, and get on to them about it. And so I think that Trump traditionally under polls. That's why he didn't he win Michigan in 2016? I think he did.
He did.
And then he lost it, I believe, in 2020. But he under polls. And right now, though, here's the other piece of the polling. Kamala has spent $1 billion, close to $1 billion. And yet she can't break away from a dead heat tie. That's the other poll. That's the other metric you have to look at is if she's spending more money than Solomon ever had in his temple and can't break out of a tie, what does that say about her capacity for a last minute surge? And I think that she is showing evidencing of plateauing. So anyway, there's that.
More less than plateauing. She's going downhill. She's not likable. And I think it shows being non-likable is bigger than any poll.
Yeah, and not only that, but she's non-likable. She also doesn't inspire confidence. I mean, she'll do puff piece interviews, and then And then when she does a real interview or has a moment where you think, okay, rise to it, she'll say something gobbledygooky that you look at and go, that was just not worth the camera time. Anyway, all right, yeah, there you go.
I definitely think there's a huge factor of people that are really going to vote for Trump are far less likely to engage with anybody polls.
I think so. Yeah. All right, Butterman, what question you got for me?
So I'm dead serious with this question.
So we've
gone through the threat of shutting down all the ports and discussing preparedness for that. We're seeing disaster relief and preparedness for that, and we're weeks away from this election. And you know, not to put tinfoil hats on or to go too full on prepper or anything, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are on you know, what do we reasonably need to be thinking about as we've got a few weeks before this election, and no matter which way it goes, what might we see?
Are you asking me about civil unrest, or are you asking about personal preparedness? What are you asking?
Yeah, I mean, civil unrest. Yeah, I'm thinking about things like supply chain interruption. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on some of the cities, it just seems like we're going to have something. You know, it's 2024. It doesn't seem like we can have much we can't even have a sunny day without having some chaos going on.
Well, I will say this. I on the show a couple of weeks ago, how long have I got? About 3 minutes. On the show 2 minutes ago, I said that, and Butters, I think you might have been in studio with me that day, that I think we all need to be both prayerful and practical. Prayerful in that you're praying constantly, but that also creates a sense of awareness. That creates a head on a swivel kind of moment where you're praying about it, which means you're also focusing. And then the practical piece is take necessary steps. I do think there's a possibility for some disruption, especially with the port was a big deal. If the ports had struck, then I was telling people you need to have your prescriptions, you know, refilled before the strike happens. You need to have essentials. You need to have dry goods. You need to have non-perishables. You need to have your communications plan with your family so that if you don't live next to each other, you know where to meet if you can't communicate by cell phone or otherwise. And so I think all those prayerful and practical steps are still real. Now, do I think something's going to happen? Well, first of all, I'm prayerful that it won't. I do believe that there will be an outcry no matter which side wins. I don't think that we're going to see the right rioting in the streets. I don't. I do think that we will see the left in some of the major urban areas potentially acting out. But then the other piece that we have to really watch right now is we know we just had one Afghan who was arrested, who was here on the parole visa program, who had planned an election day terrorist attack. And they caught him, and thank goodness they did. But we don't know who else is out there. So my main concern right now is less about weather, less about port strikes. My main concern in terms of civil unrest is even more so than people being disgruntled, is about some bad actor taking advantage of our flooded open borders and having an incident that we all need to watch out for. There you go. I unloaded. Get your question good?
That was a good answer.
All right, man. Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you so much for what you do. We'll have you back on next week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up on hour number 3. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.